Several communities in the region have adopted or are working on climate energy action plans, guidelines for how they'll consider the impact of what they do in the world at large. The city of Ashland went a step further with another ordinance called the 10x20 ordinance that requires the city to get 10% of its energy from renewable and local sources by the year 2020, which is obviously not far off. So time provides some pressure, but there are some other challenges in meeting the requirements of 10x20 in Ashland. Let's visit those. Adam Hanks is the interim assistant to the city administrator and has been in charge of the conservation division for quite a while now and is a staff to the Climate Energy Action Plan Committee. Adam, good to have you back on the exchange. Good to have you here. We got to get some microphones up. Tom McBartlett's with us as well. He is the interim electric utility director. Tom, good to see you.
Good morning. Thanks.
So let's talk about this, Adam. 10x20 has a really interesting history. This actually started as a public initiative.
Right. Yeah. It actually was a citizen initiative set for the ballot for a local ballot measure. They collected the required amount of signatures, and I think a little more, and went to council. And rather than having it go to the ballot, council decided to vote and accept it, which is one of the options that that they can do as it procedurally passes through them onto the ballot. So it ended up being accepted as a citizen-written ordinance and came on our books in September of last year.
Okay, so it just jumped the track in a sense, or jumped a barrier there, not going through the whole ballot measure thing. It never turned into a public vote.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so what was the reason? What did the council say at the time about why it snapped it up so quickly?
Well, I'm not totally sure on that. Some of the sentiment that was talked about in the council meetings was that it was likely to pass. It was one that I think may have been confusing in the public. So I think the idea was to grab onto it, roll it in, and discuss it and deal with it kind of in conjunction with our climate action planning efforts because it did relate. So I think that was part of the motivation, was to just pull it in and have more time to work on it and deal with it.
So, Tom McBartlett, from your perspective as the person looking over the delivery of electricity for Ashland, and Ashland does own its own electric utility.
Yes.
That's a major factor here. How detailed or not is the ordinance about how you go about getting electric power and how much you have to get by when?
Well, I think that's probably been one of our biggest hurdles is some of the framework that maybe we could use. And we are in committed contracts with BPA, and it has impacts on that as well. So there's a lot of variables in that have presented challenge.
Well, and that in particular, the BPA, the Bonneville Power Administration, is the place where the city of Ashland buys its power?
Yeah.
And there is something called the take-or-pay provision, is that right?
That's correct. We're in a committed contract to any power that we're going to sell, we're going to buy from them, is basically how it's written. And it's so that they can make sure that they're whole and their budget balances, and we can't just up and find a new provider mid-year on them. And that contract's good. It goes through 2028.
All right, and that is so they're what they're saying, and you've very had some discussions with BPA.
Oh yeah, very, very in depth. We've looked at that clause in the contract from every angle.
And so, is there an actual cash penalty or something, or
we're going to pay for those kilowatt hours. If we sell them, we're going to pay Bonneville for them, whether we take delivery of them from Bonneville or not.
All right. So the kilowatt hours in Ashland, you're paying Bonneville no matter which.
No matter where they come from.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So Adam, are there some potential workarounds here or areas you've explored for looking at this?
Yeah, we've looked. Tom and I have developed, along with some assistance from the Bonneville Environmental Foundation, looked at a set of alternatives that we think meet the same intent as of the ordinance. With the challenges, those individual projects may be a challenge to accomplish by the 2020 date. But we've kind of explored and put together a list of items that we think fall short of that take or pay provision in the BPA contract. Because as you mentioned, that ends up being somewhat of an economic penalty to any project that we would put forward.
So give us a sense of scale here. I mean, how it has got to be 10% renewable and local. Is that right?
Right. The one of the challenges with the ordinance from the staff perspective, because it was a citizen initiative, our legal staff didn't have any hand in crafting the ordinance. Our electric utility staff, Tom, wasn't able to chime in on some of the economics. And what we have is an ordinance that isn't really as defined as we would like. There is no definition of it. Actually isn't renewable, isn't what it's described as in the ordinance. It's clean is the terminology. So the ordinance actually has new, clean, and local as the three primary characteristics of the 10% of our annual consumption by 2020. Doesn't say the beginning of 2020. Doesn't say the end of 2020. We don't really have any clarity as to, you know, what is clean. You know, we can make some pretty good guesses, and we've been working under, you know, a good working assumption about what those are. But that is a challenge, that the ordinance does not cleanly define all of those.
And 10% of what the utility creates or otherwise moves, is that what we're talking about here?
It's actually 10% of what we consume annually.
The whole city, not just the city government.
As a city, correct.
Yeah. All right. So what are we talking about in terms of kilowatt hours and things like that?
About 17.5 million would be 10% of what we annually purchase from Bonneville.
All right. Let's remember people who we're talking to here. We're talking to the city of Ashland about the 10 by 20 ordinance, 10% new clean local energy by the year 2020, which obviously is now just 2 years and a couple of weeks away. You can join the conversation on the exchange with Adam Hanks and Tom McBartlett of the city at 800-838-3760 and by email jx@jeffnet.org. So here is a phone call from Brian in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Hope you hear me.
Yes.
Great. Hi, this is Brian. You know, the city staff has had 15 months to do something with this initiative. And here we are a year and a quarter later, and they haven't even done a cost analysis on the project's lifespan. It came up in a study session last week. Hanks was asked directly by the mayor, or it was Slattery. Have you guys looked at a long-term cost analysis here over the lifespan of the project? And the answer is no. Okay. You know, it's quite possible, although, yes, rates may go up somewhat, a little bit, in the short term. Over the long term of the project, it may end up paying for itself. But, you know, why is the staff dragging its feet on this? It took them a year to get an environmental assessment of one possible piece of property. I mean, I really characterize this meeting on the radio today as part of their concerted effort to slow down and I don't want to use a certain sabotage. That's too strong a word. All right. But, you know, there's something about this project they don't like, and they keep hiding behind, well, we have a BPA contract is a challenge. Mm-hmm. Let's figure out the whole thing before we make our mind up. Let's look at the whole project.
All right, let's get a response.
I'd like to hear their comments.
All right.
Please, thanks.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. Adam, dragging feet, what do you think about that?
Well, I think in general, we've been challenged from the get-go of not having a hand in the development of the ordinance, so that's created some issues. And really, I think the response to that is we operate under council direction. We don't have a project at this point. We are exploring a variety of projects. The one that many of the proponents are describing, and I think the caller is describing, is a 10 to 12 or so megawatt project on the city's Imperatrice property, which is across the freeway. It's outside of our, technically outside of the city limits and outside of our service territory. So it poses a variety of challenges, but that has not yet been an exclusive direction provided from council. So it's a combination of things. It's working through, all of the issues and exploring the alternatives. We are hoping for some clear and clean direction from council in the coming months.
Tom McBartlett, how specifically have you looked at the Imperatrice property and the possibility of what kinds of facilities you could set up there? We are talking solar, right?
Yeah, that's what we've looked at. And we've had some preliminary engineering studies done and some costing, kind of high-level costing looked at for tying that back to our system. Our engineering partners did a pretty good report fairly early on about some of the implications of doing that. And once we get outside of our service territory, we also bring in Pacific Power because it's their service territory, and so they get some say in it. So there's another process there that is time-consuming and costly. And so without council direction, I think it would be pretty unwise of us to just take on those expenses and process to go down that road.
So the BPA contract that we've referred to a couple of times here with the Bonneville Power Administration, mm-hmm. I mean, does it specify things like, does it speak to anything outside of your service area, or is that kind of a loophole
that wouldn't have any impact on the BPA contract. What the BPA contract says is we're going to buy power from BPA and nobody else or no other provider. Mm-hmm. So, they don't really, BPA wouldn't care where it was generated. The take or pay provision would still remain the same.
So essentially you're talking about potentially generating power and selling it to Pacific Power rather than this, well, but the outside the city then, right?
Well, that what a lot of people are thinking is we should build it there and then just build line to the into the city and tie into our system. But Pacific Power has some say in that because we'd be on their service territory and not necessarily selling to Pacific Power, but it adds another layer.
Could the power be generated as the – I mean, the ordinance sounds like it's got some wiggle room in it, Adam. Does it provide for the creation of the energy yet not used actually in the city of Ashland?
Well,
is there any swap out provision, I guess?
Not necessarily as it's written. I don't think there's any clean way to do that. I think it's a little nebulous that way. I think to go that route, and there was some discussion in Monday's council study session about some of that, and I think we would want to clarify that in the ordinance if that is a direction the council is wanting us to go.
So let's come back to what's going on with the city council, because this did pass in September 2016, is that right?
Right.
All right. So as our caller Brian mentioned, it's been in place for a year and a quarter. What kind of direction are you getting from the council about what the next steps are? Is there a specific plan there to say we're going to do this, then we're going to do this, then we're going to do this?
Well, not completely that solid, I think. What we do have is, as Tom mentioned, some approval and request from the council to explore. And we have done that. The environmental assessment or inventory work that was done on the Imperatrix property was one that they did authorize that expenditure. I guess another item to note is there is no budget right now in the electric utility to address this. So what council has to do is, kind of work within the existing constraints of the electric funds budget for how in depth to explore. But the assessment, I think, was a really good document. It's going to help the city regardless of whether we do a solar installation on that property or not. So we have completed that, and that was a study that we initiated the contract work in February or March, had the contractor on in the spring when they do the inventory work when everything's in bloom. We had the report draft to us in August and final report, I think, in September, and that was part of what we presented. We presented it informally earlier, but then we presented it formally just last month. So things, of this magnitude and this nature that have a potential impact to the future of our electric utility, I think it's probably wise to step through this very, very cautiously.
Given the fact that we're almost in 2018, does 2020 seem possible still? Tom McBartlett?
I hate to say anything's impossible. I'm going to give, my best efforts and bring in the best experts that I can find to, when given the direction to see what we can do. I don't want to by any means obstruct or not give it whatever I can.
All right. And we're talking to Tom McBartlett, the interim electric utility director of the city of Ashland. Adam Hanks is the interim assistant to the city administrator, also the manager of the conservation division and staff to the Climate and Energy Action Plan Committee. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Climate and Energy Action Plan passed after this, right?
Correct. Yeah, right. It passed in March of this year.
Do they dovetail with each other at all, the Climate Energy Action Plan and the 10 by 20, or are they kind of like ships passing in the night?
They do. They have a relationship. I think 10 by 20 can be looked at as kind of nesting under one of the strategies in the Climate Action Plan. And the challenge there is for what purpose? The Climate Action Plan is looking at kind of, mitigation and adaptation are the two components of a Climate Action Plan. And does... to what extent does a local, clean, and new power generation inside the city, meet the objectives of mitigation, carbon and greenhouse gas mitigation? One of the things that is a concern or at least a point of discussion is we have our power that we purchased from Bonneville Power Administration is 95% carbon free. It's 85% hydro. There's some mixture of wind and other elements in that mix that we purchased from BPA. So it's a very low carbon power source to begin with. So when we're talking about replacing low carbon electricity with renewable power, which is obviously low carbon electricity, it's not the same kind of gain or delta that you would see in a utility that is, you know, predominantly having contracts for wholesale power from coal or natural gas or a fossil-based electricity generation. So while it is dovetailed into the climate action plan, I think there is debate about whether this is a you know, a high priority and a great bang for the buck from a carbon greenhouse gas inventory sort of way.
In the general belief that there's nothing new under the sun, I don't mean this to be a joke about solar. The fact is that usually some other community has gotten something like this. Is there anybody else you can compare notes with? Anybody else whose stuff you can take off the shelf and say, hey, let's do it this way?
Well, early on, I talked to some utilities in Colorado that have done similar size. And of course, on scale-wise, they're huge in comparison to us, just to see how it worked out for them. So, yeah, there's out there. We've talked to other people that have done it. I don't know about in Oregon, if anything this scale.
Yeah, I think some of that is every utility in every region has a different set of conditions and regulatory conditions, economic conditions that drive a lot of this. It isn't because somebody can do a solar project in Arizona for 3 or 4 cents, you know, per kilowatt generation. You know, there's a lot of reasons why that may exist that way that may not, you know, translate to our situation in the Northwest in general and then in Ashland in particular.
All right. So a final question has to be then, is this on the council's agenda at some point in the new year for further discussion?
Absolutely. It will be in one of the first few meetings in January to develop kind of, I think, a little bit of what Brian mentioned in the call is a little more ordered and hierarchical kind of decision making to start bringing it in about what are the objectives, what do we want to do, How aggressively are we going to pursue it, and what kind of dollar allocations are we going to give?
All right. It is called the 10 by 20 ordinance. It requires 10% new clean local energy generation in the city of Ashland by the year 2020, which, again, is just 2 years and a couple of weeks away. Adam Hanks is the interim assistant to the city administrator in the city of Ashland and also still very much involved with the Conservation Division and Climate Energy Action Plan. Carrying out. Tom McBartlett is the interim director of the City of Ashland Electric Utility. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having us.